Have you ever tried to hide your flaws and put on an image of perfection? In Romans 7, Paul pulls back the curtain on his own struggle with sin. It's a raw and honest look at the believer's battle. Paul reveals that even after salvation, sin still rages within. True followers of Jesus love God's word and long to please him, but it's a fight. Does that sound familiar? Here's Stephen Davey with today's lesson.
For centuries, the royalty and the wealthy of Great Britain and Europe used to show off their wealth in a number of rather pretentious ways. Castles and coachmen were signs of financial wealth. Clothing, jewelry, those were ways of showing off. In the 1700s and the 1800s, the women of high society in Europe spent lavish amounts of money on the breeding of small dogs for household pets. It was not uncommon for a woman to have her portrait done with her little dog in her lap as an indication of her wealth and status. Well, in America, the late 1800s were times of great prosperity for many people. Men became millionaires through railroads, industry, oil, real estate. Well, their wives didn't have the culture and connections to European royalty, although they were now, well, just as wealthy. Well, these wives of American millionaires didn't have centuries of royal blood or culture, but they could spend large amounts of money to import and breed their own little dogs. And one of the favorites in North America was called the poodle. And, well, just like the wealthy women of Europe, these women had their portraits painted as they held their little poodle in their lap. They could now act as if they were royalty as well. Well, of course, people saw through this charade, and they even came up with the phrase, putting on the dog. In other words, when someone was trying to appear sophisticated or wealthy, they were, well, so to speak, putting on the dog. Frankly, that's human nature, isn't it? Even Christians today want to appear more spiritual than they might be. Maybe it's a pious attitude or spiritual-sounding language around certain people. It might be refusing to ever admit failure or sinful actions. The truth is, we are much more comfortable putting on the dog, so to speak, than letting people know who we really are. And let me tell you, it's just more comfortable to hide behind a poodle in a portrait of what we'd like to appear to be. You know, that's one of the reasons I'm amazed as the Apostle Paul now reveals his own spiritual battle. We frankly can't fathom that it was as difficult for him to live a holy life as it is for us. But there's no hiding here in Romans chapter 7. Listen to Paul's personal testimony here in verse 14 and following. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Well, after hearing this, beloved, you might be thinking, Paul is fighting the same battle I am. Well, that's true. He is. Paul continues here in verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand, or evil is present in me. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members, that is my body, another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Again, Paul is writing about his own battle with sin. He's speaking in first person. He's also speaking here in the present tense. He's not hiding behind a cute little dog for his spiritual portrait. He's very open here. He's very honest. He's very transparent. Now, as Paul reveals his own personal experience here, he's also revealing three very important truths about believers. Here's the first one. Becoming a Christian doesn't end your battle with sin. A true believer doesn't want to sin, doesn't want to excuse sin, but still sins. Paul writes here in verse 15, I do the very thing I hate. Now again, he's not excusing his sin. He's simply saying that no Christian in this life is going to reach a state of perfection. When we sin, we hate to. We hate the sin that we commit. And we also remain very needy and dependent on the power and grace of God in life as we face temptation. Here's the second truth. Paul reveals here that a true believer loves the Word of God. Paul writes here in verse 22, I delight in the law of God. What he's saying here is that the standard for my life is the Word of God, and I long to be more faithful in applying God's Word to my life. I love God's Word more than I love my sin. Third, a true believer has a desire to please God with holy living. Paul writes here in verse 19, I do not do the good I want to do. And here's the battle. Paul is saying, I'm being pulled in two opposite directions. With my fallen nature, I'm being pulled toward sin. With my new nature, I'm being pulled toward holiness. This text, then, is the testimony, not just of Paul, but of every believer. We're all engaged in a daily battle for purity and holiness and devotion and godliness. Every day, beloved, you're going to face a test of purity. You're going to have a test of integrity. You're going to experience a test of humility. And what Paul does here is very transparently and honestly speak about the battle that we have with sin, that we encounter on a daily basis. Paul even used himself as an example. In fact, back here in verse 15, he writes again, For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And let me tell you, this is very strong language. Paul is saying, I hate doing sinful things. Now, Paul gives us an explanation here in verse 16. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Now, Paul isn't saying here that it's all sin's fault. No, he's taking responsibility for his sin, but he's admitting sin lies within himself. Sin is in control of his flesh, that sinful nature. Listen, the great apostle Paul is actually admitting to us that he's sinful. Now, we might say he's refusing to, well, put on the dog, to act like somebody. He's not. He's refusing that. He's open and honest here in this admission. He's saying, in effect, sinfulness lies in Paul, in my flesh. And while the new Paul, the new me, the new creature in Christ, wants to do the right thing, the person that represents the old me, well, he sometimes gets in the way, and he gives me a tough time, pulling me in the old way of thinking and living. He admits that he lives with this tension. Now he knows who he is in Christ, forgiven, forgiven forever, but he's still living and battling with that old flesh daily, just like you're going to do today. Let me put it this way. One day, we're going to be delivered from our fallen flesh, that sin nature, and that'll be eternal deliverance. But in the meantime, we've got to battle it every single day. Let me tell you, beloved, growing Christians actually become more aware of how sinful they really are. And there's no need to hide in some kind of portrait. In fact, Paul ends his personal testimony here in verse 24 by saying this, Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, I want you to notice he doesn't say, What will deliver me? As if there's something he can do. No, he writes, Who will deliver me? He's asking a question, and he knows the answer, and the answer is very clear: Jesus Christ. He's the only one who has the power on earth to save us, redeem us from the penalty of sin, empower us in that daily battle against sin if we submit to him. And one day, he's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. So with that, Paul now goes on to write this wonderful and final verse in his personal testimony. Here it is, verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's your hope and mine today. We fail, we sin, we don't always please the Lord, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who saved us and forgave us. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. So make sure, beloved, you don't live in chapter 7 without making it to the end of this chapter and giving thanks to God and his forgiveness of every sin through Christ. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called this lesson Putting on the Dog. I hope it was helpful for you as you face your own struggle with sin. This is The Wisdom Journey, a 3-year teaching series through the Bible. I'm glad you joined us. The Wisdom Journey is produced by Wisdom International. We have several ways that you can reach us if you have a comment, a question, or would like more information. Our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE. You can call us each weekday at 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. You can address an email to info@wisdomonline.org. Once again, that's info@wisdomonline.org. If you'd like to send Stephen a card or letter in the mail, address it to Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. I'll give you that again. It's Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. I hope we hear from you today. I also hope you'll join us back here next time as Stephen continues teaching through all 66 books of the Bible on this wisdom journey.